Good morning. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to those in attendance this morning, especially our visitors. We're glad that you're here. As mentioned, Brother Michael, I'll be filling in for Justin this morning because some have asked about my perspective on the trip to Sierra Leone, and I'm glad to share that, especially concerning the fact that another local congregation giving me some support has asked that I do a lesson on it. So this will be good practice, hopefully. Back in October of last year, Brother Justin Montz had asked me about going to Sierra Leone, West Africa, with him and some other men. And after consideration and prayer and talking to Andrea about it and so forth, I decided, yes, I would like to do that. I saw it as a great opportunity, something I had a keen interest in evangelism and trying to teach the gospel. The other gentleman that went with us was Brother John Smith from Indiana. And to be up front, I just felt honored and blessed, really, to have this opportunity. Not just to go to Sierra Leone, but also to work with these two fine gospel preachers. So today, I would like to just give you my perspective on the trip. Just a little bit about John Smith. I actually knew John Smith from my days back in Knoxville, Tennessee, back in the 90s. He had gone to Russia with our preacher at the time, Brother Greg Gwynn. And all along the way, Brother John Smith has found himself and put himself in positions to do foreign evangelism. In fact, this was his sixth trip. Yeah, it's on. Bring it up. Okay. Any better? Yes, good. Okay. So Brother John Smith, he's a great Bible teacher, and he's blessed with a preacher's voice. He would joke about the fact that he only had one volume, and that was loud. And I got to tell you, over there, there are very few, if any, PA systems. And I had really struggled to try to project my voice like Brother John Smith could. Of course, Justin Montz, the other evangelist that went with us, as you know, very knowledgeable, capable young man with a lot of dedication to his work as an evangelist. I was blessed to be a part of the work with him. I admired his dedication to the Lord, his courage and desire even to go into the depths of Sierra Leone, where many people would never dare to go. But looking forward to this trip, I have to admit to you, there were times I was excited, sure, but there was a number of times I was just very concerned and perhaps even afraid, if you might use that term. You think about all the potential problems there could be. We traveled about 15,000 miles round trip and all that in the air. And this was right around the time that the Malaysian jet disappeared. And so certainly that would be in the back of our minds as we travel. But not only that, the disease potential. One of the things we had to do to get ready for the trip was to get a bunch of shots. And a bunch of pills, shots for yellow fever, typhoid, hepatitis, and so forth. Some of the pills we took for some of those diseases, malaria and so forth. And so it was another factor that we had to consider before going. Potential hostility. And when you go into a foreign country like Africa, a foreign continent, I should say, you just don't know what to expect. There's at times a lot of violence in Africa. And I just kept going back to what Brother John Smith said to me. He said, if it was dangerous, we wouldn't be gone. And so that was a comfort to me as we thought about potential problems over there in Sierra Leone. Well, there was a number of steps to get ready. Besides all the shots, there was a trip we took to discuss our plans. We went up to Kentucky and met with Brother Smith. Got to know each other better and discuss the things we'd be doing. There was all the support, the financial support that I had to raise, and that took time and effort. There were the lessons that I either had to dust off or prepare from scratch. It took a lot of time. There were plane tickets to buy. There was other travel arrangements and lodging and things of that nature that had to be arranged. So really, there was quite a bit of effort, and all this took place in about 4 months. And it was a great effort, especially by Brother John Smith, to make this happen. It really helped me to appreciate so much more so the sacrifices that the Apostle Paul made. You think about all the missionary trips he took, and this was just one little trip. But the Apostle Paul did that over and over and over again. So I'd like to thank the congregation here for those who contributed financially, and especially for the prayers and the encouraging words that you gave me and Brother Montz for this trip. I was very glad that I had the opportunity to go. I still look back with fond memories of this trip, of the brethren that we worked with and the things that we accomplished together. Well, let me just briefly share with you our plans for the trip. The first week, we're to arrive in Freetown, and then the three of us would travel to McKinney. And I'm going to show you a map in just a moment that shows you Sierra Leone up close, so you can relate these cities. But the idea there was to either start a congregation, where we really didn't know much about if there was even a church there to begin with, or to strengthen one if it was there. And then the second week, as Brother Justin has described in his presentation, he headed off to Cologne, primarily to discuss institutional issues and other things that the church would need help in. Brother John Smith and I, in the second week, headed back to Freetown, where we edified churches in Wellington and Freetown. So here's Sierra Leone, and I circled the three towns that we were in, basically. You see Freetown, and then McKinney was where the three of us worked for the first week, and Cologne, where Brother Justin went with one of the local brethren there. Well, here we are, partaking at our last American meal. We met Brother John Smith in Washington, D.C. at the airport there. And we were at Wendy's, enjoying our last American meal. You might call it the Last Supper. And from the Last Supper, we went to the Lord's Supper in Brussels, Belgium, Sunday morning, that following morning. We got there very early in the morning, and we had a little service together. Brother Smith had brought the elements, and that is how we addressed our need to meet and assemble. Here we are at the airport. It's actually Lungi in Sierra Leone, which is right across from Freetown, across a big bay of some sort. And in fact, to get across to Freetown, you had to take a water taxi or some other means of getting across. And eventually, from there, we made it across and met two of the brethren from Freetown. From there, they took us to the hotel. That's the hotel outside. And here's a beautiful view from our window. You can see the water. You can see some boats. And that was on a clear day. Most days were much more hazy than that. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Freetown. My experience with Freetown was sort of a shock to the senses, so to speak, compared to what we're used to. There are people all over the place, and they're busy selling things. There's traffic like you wouldn't believe. You think I-285 is bad. Motorcycles all over, everywhere. Carting people to and fro. That's how some make a living. There's people selling things all over. Here you see a spread of different kinds of food that this particular individual was selling. They would sell anything just about you can imagine. If it's at a Walmart, they probably had it out on the street here. Besides food, they had clothes, they had shoes, they had electronic type devices, cell phone paraphernalia, and so forth and so on. But also, one thing I was really impressed with was how the women would carry things on their head. Look at that woman in the center. She must have like 10 stacks of baskets on her head. How do you get to have the kind of balance to be able to do that? I just wonder. It was impressive to me how they could do that. Now, this next picture, you see a woman not only carrying something on her head, but she's got a baby on her back. And that's just what they do there. Right next to her is a man with a wheelbarrow full of coconuts, taking them to market to sell. But notice the traffic. You see all the people and all the cars? It's just incredible. And my favorite head load, so to speak, was a bunch of eggs, probably 2 or 3 dozen eggs on that woman's head. Now, women, if you're interested in learning that skill, I recommend you don't try it with eggs first. Try something else. Here's the local Walmart. This is a Freetown Direct supermarket. We stopped here occasionally to get some supplies. It had a lot of good things, reasonably priced, but it's certainly nothing compared to what we're used to here. It's in Freetown and in other places in Sierra Leone. You saw lots of abandoned buildings, old buildings, dilapidated and so forth. Even saw buildings under construction. Now, men, how many of you would like to work on that scaffolding there? Does that look pretty safe? But that's how they build buildings there. The food was interesting. It was edible. It was decent food. We ate at the hotels most of the time. It wasn't always just exactly what you expected. In fact, we never did try this hot goat pepper soup. Sure, it must have been good and interesting, but we just never had the opportunity, I guess. Tried something called ground nut soup, which was sort of a local food. It was good, but a little spicier than I liked. But one of my favorite examples is, I ordered one night, it's called fried fish and tartar. And you would think, I was thinking Captain D's, you know, the battered fried fish. And this is what I got. A whole fish. And I don't even think it was, I don't know if it was fried or not, but it was a whole fish. I didn't know what to do with the head, but I was able to provide a decent meal. But it just shows you some of the differences in culture. The first day, Monday, actually the second day, Monday, I got a little bored, so I decided to take a little walk and start to check out Freetown. And that's what I did. I just walked down this street. And I came across the National Stadium, where they play football. Now, football, for you Americans, is soccer. I learned from a Liberian that we don't play football here in America. We play handball. It's not truly football. But this is where they play, and they have other events. One of the brothers took me into the stadium one day. We watched some grade schoolers competing in races and so forth. It was an interesting place. But right around the stadium, if you could see just below it, you could see a lot of houses. And I got a little closer to the houses, took some pictures. You can see a lot of them have the metal roofs. A lot of them just crammed together, very close together. A lot of clotheslines hanging around. You can see that if you look close. And here's a little more of a close-up picture. I actually caught a family down below. I think they were outside eating or something of that nature. But notice, too, the trash that's often around many of the homes. One thing that was really noticeable in Freetown especially was just all the pollution. Here's a little stream going right through where people live, and it's just loaded with trash. And that was one of the things that was sad to me, that they didn't have the sense to deal with that problem. Even, in fact, where this little creek runs through, where women would do their laundry, you can actually see clothes just laying out there to dry. There was trash all over the place. Yet this is how they lived. It kind of reminded me of being outdoors and camping, if anybody's ever camped. It's a lot like that. You're outside a lot. You do laundry outside. You cook outside. And that's basically how these people live, 24/7. This was the road up to our hotel. Up the top of the hill was our hotel, the Kona Lodge, and that was a dangerous street to walk up and down, I found out. There's barely enough room for two cars. When you throw in motorcycles and other pedestrians, that deep gutter there could be a place where you might abode for a little while. So you had to be real careful where you were walking and how you were stepping. If you would turn with the book of Acts in chapter 17... It, being there reminded me of something Paul had said to the Athenians in Acts 17, verse 22 and 23. It Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Sierra Leone, there's evidence of lots and lots of different kinds of religions. Here we see a wall with a bunch of posters on it, expressing different messages from different churches. Even on vehicles such as this truck, it says, "God is great." And even from the Islamic point of view, a van, it says, "The favors of Allah, never will you be able to count them." And there was lots and lots of signs of this nature, lots of church buildings. And as Paul noticed those in Athens, I noticed that in Sierra Leone, that in all things they were very religious. And so that presented and created some great opportunities. And as we made our way to McKinney, we traveled through Freetown, and for some reason, we ended up going through one of the busiest sections of town. Here's a picture from the front of the vehicle. You can see all the people and vehicles and motorcycles and so forth. And then someone snapped a shot just outside the window. And you can see, you're not going anywhere very quickly. Very interesting traffic patterns here. And we think we have it bad here in Atlanta. But as we broke through Freetown, eventually got onto some better roads, as we went towards McKinney, we saw lots and lots of people still outside selling. There were villages, there were grass huts. There were some nice homes and some not so nice homes. It was an interesting ride to McKinney. Often we would see these signs to try to improve the health of the people there, the citizens. This one talks about malaria treatments. The next one talks about AIDS and HIV testing and so forth. And for us Americans, it was a long, hot road. I mean, it was pretty hot there. When I looked at a forecast before I left, I think it was in the 90s, and about 80% humidity. So if you picture Atlanta on about the worst summer day, that's basically what it's like over in Sierra Leone. It was a long, hot journey, and it wore us out. But Justin, he was often meditating, trying to get ready for the trip. And then we stopped at our hotel. We found a very, very nice hotel. Brethren from Freetown had arranged it. Just one of the most nicest rooms I've ever stayed in, actually. It was actually a little cabin, and it was very great accommodations for that. We're thankful. I think Justin mentioned his talk. We got a little antsy, so we went for a walk and just walked the streets around a little bit. It was interesting seeing the different types of architecture and the people and the things they were doing. There's a political sign. There's similar to our country, there's two basic parties, from what I understand. This is the All People's Congress Party. This is a school. There were many schools associated with churches there. I think this one is probably a Catholic school of some sort. And a lot of the people would send their kids to these schools, even if they weren't Catholic, for example. They might send their kids to these schools. I believe Justin showed this shot of the local hardware store. He's got tires and all kinds of things, odds and ends. Brother Michael Canoe, we met him, and it was a great experience walking there as strangers, and he comes up to us, and he knew who we were. It was really cool to be able to see that he was expecting us and looking forward to our time together. Saw the kids playing soccer or football. We saw here's a sign for a Catholic church building, Our Lady of Fatima Cathedral. Here's a picture of it. Again, there were a lot of different religious groups in McKinney and in Freetown displayed there. If I remember right, this is a picture of the hotel. You can't see it very well. There's some trees ahead of it. Speaking of trees, palm trees, coconut trees. This actually has to be a coconut tree. If you look close, you can see coconuts there. The next one's mangoes. I had some good mangoes while I was there. That was nice. A lot of good fruit over there. This is a picture of kernels from a palm tree, which they said they press into oil, palm oil. This is actually a couple graves that we noticed in some ways yard. And this is a really interesting situation. These women walk about 10 miles or more carrying these sticks on their head every day. And they bring these sticks to market and they sell them. Then they walk back their 10 miles or so to their village. I was really impressed by that, the dedication and the hard work they displayed. This little house where the church in McKinney met, we did find a church there, very small, but interested certainly in doing the work of the Lord there in that place. They rented a room from the homeowner. The next picture shows, on the left is Brother Victor Canoe, that you've heard about, and Brother Wealth Atumen. He works closely with Brother Victor, and they are, as far as I could tell, they're pillars in the church there at McKinney. Here's the little room that they rented. You can see it's pretty tiny. Hard to fit a number of people in there, but the Sunday we were there, we did cram lots of people into that little room and adjoining areas. I got antsy one day, so I went out for a walk by myself in McKinney, and just like taking pictures and observing people, what they do and so forth. I came across at the center of town, and there was actually a market off of this street here. And if you look, trying to go through that market, and I did that, I think I was the only white person there, and probably one of the few men that were there. And it was really interesting. I actually took a stop one time. I was trying to take a picture or something, and a woman behind me said, "Keep going, keep going." So very crowded. But I did happen across some friendly faces that asked me to take their picture. Three nice young ladies. In the market, they would often have fish just wide out in the open, flies on them and everything. That's just how people eat and what they do over there. Now, as we were coming into town, we got to see our banner. It was exciting to see that the brethren had prepared for our lectureship there. But as luck would have it, this woman stepped right in front of my picture, right in front of the banner. And so it looks like we're teaching doctrine of men. But fortunately, Brother Justin got a better picture of that. Our goal was to teach no doctrines of men. And so that's what we tried to do in McKinney. And we had quite a turnout. It was exciting to see the interest in the lectureship that we had there in McKinney. There's the room, the building. The room is on the first floor there. It's kind of like a cafeteria or some kind of lectureship hall of some sort. We had, imagine this, 3 to 3.5 hours every evening from Wednesday through Saturday. We had, each of us gave a sermon, maybe 45 minutes long, and then questions after that that would last sometimes for a half hour or so. I often thought, you know, would people in the United States be this interested in spiritual things? Most of whom were not even Christians, and they were coming every night. In fact, Justin and I had an opportunity to invite these three young men as they were walking the campus of the college where we were. And they came, and that was exciting as well. Here's Brother John Smith presenting a lesson. You notice there's really quite a few people. Not every chair is filled. Some nights it seemed every chair was filled, but we probably averaged 50 to 60 people a night coming to hear these lessons. Here's Brother Justin taking his turn, and here I am trying to make a point in one of my lessons. Here's an example of some of the lessons we presented. Bible baptism, the uniqueness of the Bible, conversions in the book of Acts, and Christianity versus Islam. And the lessons were well received, and there were so many great questions. In fact, here's some example questions. What should I do to become a true servant of God? Number two, the church where I attend, how can we deal with gossip and discord? I want to leave if I do not have a solution. Number three, what is the difference between Old and New Testaments? Number four, is it true that Muslims and Christians are serving the same God? Number five, why is it that if you are not baptized, you are not a child of God when you are created by God? Number six, how is it possible for one to be able to identify the churches of men? Number seven, among all the prophets that came to teach God's word, which prophet is the last prophet on earth? Lots of different questions coming from different backgrounds, and it was quite interesting and challenging to try to answer their questions. This is a picture of some of the brethren in Sierra Leone. On the left, Theophilus Cartouche. On the right, Christian Asgill from Freetown. And the one in the center is Willie Pretty from Freetown as well. Second from the left is Brother Means Atuman. And the fourth from the left is Victor Canoe, the preacher in McKinney. We stayed with a preacher from Wellington, which is right near Freetown. Brother John Cargbo, he stayed with us at the hotel. It's kind of a comical picture here. He's trying to deal with American sense of climate. Of course, in our hotel, we had air conditioning. We had it full blast. Well, that was very, very cold for Brother Cargbo. You can see here, he's got his makeshift hat on. He borrowed Brother Justin's winter coat, and he's got a blanket on top of that. And he was always cold when we were in the room. But John is really a fine young man, and I grew to love and appreciate John. We had lots of time together. He's got a good heart. He's still untaught in some ways. We had some good discussions about the end times and things of that nature. He told me he was raised by his grandmother as a Muslim, and that he experienced the civil war in Sierra Leone, and it was pretty bad. In fact, he had some close calls. He said it was the result of jealousy and anger and revenge is what prompted the war. John was formerly a Pentecostal preacher. And one of the first trips, he had met with some of the Christians for the United States and learned the truth. He was so afraid of water that he really hesitated to be baptized into Christ. And from what I understand, the preacher said, "John, do you trust me?" And he said, "Yeah." And he allowed him to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, some of the congregation where he preached actually converted with him and came with him. And there's a small group of young people in Wellington that meet in his home. And they have a congregation there. We sang hymns together. We encouraged each other. And in our spare time, we would watch some football together. It was a nice time to get to know each other. Here is us getting ready to go somewhere. I think this may have been the morning of the baptisms. These are some of the young folks attending our lectureship who wanted to be baptized into Christ. On the left is Gracie, then Kumba. Her fiancé is Simon Phillip. I think, if I remember right, Prince is the next one, and then Gabriel is the final one. You see Brother Canoe on the right. Another picture. These are the names. We had them write them down, which is helpful if you wanted to pray for them. If you'd like the list, I'd be glad to provide that for you. I would ask that you keep them in your prayers. These are babes in Christ. This is where the baptisms took place. It's a little creek of some sort. This is Kumba being baptized. This is her fiancé, Simon Phillip. And if you notice on top of the bridge there, there's a woman who stopped to watch. And there was a lot of curiosity as to what we were doing. This is Grace being baptized. And then this is our whole group afterwards. As we walked partially back by ourselves, we decided to take a little trip, try to meet the car kind of halfway. We just saw people living their lives here in the country. A lot of young kids calling out, "Opatu, Opatu," meaning white man, white man. Most of them haven't seen one or very rarely see us. Here's a young man getting some water out of a well. And then later, one of the evenings of the lectureship, while we were preaching, there were several that had expressed interest in being baptized. And so what they did is some of the Christians from Sierra Leone would take them and baptize them while the three of us continued to preach. And so these were six more souls that were added to God's kingdom. But unfortunately, our week came to an end, and seeing Brother Levy with Justin was sort of an indication of that, that we're at the close of our time in McKinney. Soon they would be leaving for Cologne. So the next day, Sunday morning, here's some brethren just chatting before morning service. And here are some four precious souls that showed up for services that morning. Just love these young people here. Well, that Sunday morning, Brother John Smith taught the class. If you notice, there's a hallway there where there's people crammed in there as well as in the room that I showed you earlier. And then I preached a sermon. Brother Montz did the Lord's Supper. Here's the congregation. And then afterwards, we took a picture of everybody. Now, this picture includes not only the congregation, but I believe there were four of the new converts that were there that Sunday morning. Brother Canoe tried to make sure that all these new converts understood where the church met, and he had their contact information to try to follow up with them. Well, back to Freetown. This is now the second week. As we're heading back, again, just to see the countryside was interesting. Now, here's people selling things just about anywhere there's a concentration of people. You have people come to your car and try to sell you things. Here's some bed frames out here if you'd like those. Justin mentioned the guy that wanted to provide lunch for us, and that's him there. We weren't that interested in that, but we stopped here to let Justin and Brother Levy out, and again, people try to sell you what they have, which is understandable. I bought some, I thought they were bananas, but they ended up being plantains, so I didn't want to eat them. I think you have to cook them first. Back on the road to Freetown without Brother Justin and Brother Levy. As you get back closer to Freetown, I noticed one thing about the cars. A lot of them, if you hadn't driven a car for a little while, it's going to look like this. You've got dirt all over it. Kind of like our green pollen, but this is dirt. See the houses on the hills there? Here's a picture. It happened fairly on a regular basis. You would see a crowd of people and a commotion of some sort. You see police or military in the midst of it. I don't know what happened here. Maybe somebody got hurt. Maybe there was a fight. Not sure, but in a big city like that, you would see that on a regular basis. And in the midst of the city and the throng of people, you see sometimes a picture like this, a woman caressing a little boy there. Here you see people carrying water jugs. This is where they live. Here's the court office buildings, courtrooms, so forth. Here's a big famous cotton tree. In the second week, in the mornings, Brother John Smith and I worked with the congregation and met in John Cargbo's house. This congregation consisted of mostly younger people, at least the ones that were able to attend our lessons. And we would take turns. We would spend about 2 hours with them in the morning. And it was just a nice time to be with the church there. We would sing hymns beforehand and have prayer. And you could just see when they're singing hymns, a lot of them would have their eyes closed and they were really feeling the songs. It was uplifting for me to see that. We would give lectureships on different things. Sometimes we'd use the same lessons we'd already used somewhere else. But Brother John Smith did a good one on the role of women in the church. John Cargbo had asked if he could do that to help the church with some issues. We talked about Bible authority and church organization, the worship of the church, and Bible baptism. Here's a picture of John with his... Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. We had a visitor show up one day. Little lizard there, thought was interesting. Picture of John Cargbo and his wife, Regina, and their little son, Jesse. One of the brothers from Freetown was our driver the second week, Brother Willie Pretty, and he would take me out. John Smith had some health issues. He would stay in the hotel a lot, so me and Willie would go out and just sightsee a little bit. He took me to a fishing village. You could see these old boats. Are they seaworthy? I don't know. I guess they are. The story he told me is that these men would go out for about a week at a time, out in the midst of the ocean, and not always return back. I mean, you imagine being out in the big ocean with that little vessel. But that's how they made a living. They would do that and fish. We went to a beach, took a little walk on the beach there. And then he showed me how Sierra Leone got their name. If you look... The mountains in the background, on the far left mountain, sort of looks like a lion that's hunched and ready to attack. And apparently, a Portuguese explorer by the name of Pedro da Sintra in the 1400s saw that and said, "Those are lion mountains. That's what I'm going to call that." And so that's what the name Sierra Leone basically means. It's Lion Mountain. We saw some really nice sights from the hill above the city. You could see a lot more, see the city and the water and some ships out there. One of my favorite pictures is this one here, a large cotton tree coming down the hill right in front of the water with ships out in the water. It's very, very beautiful. Well, in the evenings on the second week, Brother John Smith and I, we would spend evenings with the church at Priscilla Street. In fact, they met almost every evening for some reason. Here's the church building where they meet. You see three of us and Brother Christian Asgill on the left side and Brother Theophilus Cartouche on the right. And these men did a lot of work in preparation for our trip. In fact, if it wasn't for these two men, I don't know that we ever would have had a trip. That's how much work they did in preparation. Here I am teaching a class one evening. It was the preacher's training class. They had a lot of good questions after and during. Brother John Smith teaching a new converts class one evening. But one of the highlights of my second week was this young man here. He was the man who took care of our room, and he did an excellent job. Every day he would come in and clean. He would replace towels, and if we needed some water or that type of thing, he would be very, very helpful. And I noticed he was just a very nice guy and even somewhat religious. And I started talking to him. I found out from a previous trip, an American preacher had talked to him, and they actually brought him to services, I believe at the Priscilla Street congregation. Well, we kind of seized on that opportunity. We sat down and studied together, Brother Smith, and his name is Bossy Lauman. And after a few days, he said that he wanted to be baptized into Christ Jesus. And there he is with a Bible in hand. And so one evening, we took him to the Priscilla Street congregation, and he was baptized into Christ. Now, he had some problem with his work. As working in a hotel, as you can imagine, he had to work Sundays. But I got an email, I think it was this week, Christian Asgill. He said, I'm going to talk to his boss about that. He actually knew his boss, and he was going to see if he couldn't get Bossy freed up to be able to come to services. I thought, that's great. That's an excellent way to encourage this new soul. Brother John Smith, on the last Sunday, he did the preaching. Did his normally great job. And Brother Justin did the Lord's Supper. This is the congregation at Priscilla Street. You can see a fairly large group. Afterwards, they assembled for a group photo. Just a great group of Christians and their families. And really, I see this congregation as not only a beacon of light in Freetown, but really in all of Sierra Leone. You have some men there and some women there that are extremely active and trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in that country. Well, this meant we were close to going home, and that we did. We took the water taxi back to the dock. From there, we spent lots of hours waiting for flights. It was about 2 8-hour flights and a 3-hour flight to get home, not to mention the waiting time in between. And it was great to be home again. But it's an experience I wouldn't trade for much of anything. It was a wonderful time and a wonderful experience to be a part of that. And I just want to spend the last couple minutes just talking about evangelism. I spent about $6,000 to go. I'm sure Brother Montz and Brother Smith spent more than that. It was a very expensive trip. But my question is, how can you put a value on the souls that were saved? On souls that are going to spend eternity with the Lord if they're going to be faithful until death? If you would turn to Matthew 28. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us not forget that great commission applies to us as well. We have some responsibility in that as we have opportunity and ability. You know, most Christians won't have the opportunity to go and do foreign evangelism, but you can help in other ways. You can help financially, and you can certainly help with your prayers. As a congregation, we should be willing to do our share. I know for financial reasons, the church here has, at least temporarily, not included itself in foreign evangelism due to budget constraints. But I encourage us to think about working towards that again. This is very important, and we ought to see that we have some responsibility in that. By going there, we don't mean to give the impression that a soul in Sierra Leone is any more important than a soul right here. If you're not a Christian, God wants you to be saved just as well. And just as the angels rejoiced in heaven when these young souls were baptized into Christ, He will rejoice at your baptism. If you believe in Christ, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as your Lord, be baptized into Him, and have your sins washed away, and continue faithful till death. He will save you in the end. Or if you're a Christian who has fallen away, you've let the devil get the upper hand, you can repent of that. One of the great things about the gospel is you can repent of that. No matter how many times you fall down, if you get up that last time, you can get to heaven. And we're here to help you. None of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We'll be glad to help you to help make your journey to heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, we hope that you'll come forward while we stand and sing.